Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the role that angels have traditionally played in the relationship of God to man. And we're not going to talk about every passage that we could talk about. In fact, we're probably not going to finish the passages that we have to look at even this evening. But we will get a start on this. And I kind of worried about whether I ought to talk about the role that angels play first or the type of being that they are. And I think the role that they play is what dictates the kind of being that they are. So we're going to take that approach, and we're going to talk about the role that they have played specifically with relationship to man. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the role that they play in heaven. They do have a role there, but that's not the role that really impacts us. I know that when John talks about the angels in heaven in the book of Revelation, for instance, he talks about them praising God. And that's a very real role, but it's just not something that concerns us. So we're not going to talk about that aspect of their role that they carry out only in heaven. We're going to look at their role as it applies to what's going on with us. Okay. Can I get someone who would like to read Hebrews 1, verses 13 and 14? And I have it up here on the screen from the New International Translation. If you want to read it on the screen or from your book, doesn't matter. You don't have to necessarily read it from the New International Translation. That's just the translation that I was using when I put these slides together for us. So Hebrews 1, verses 13 and 14. Someone want to read that?
To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?
Okay. So, what do you see in this statement about the role that angels play relative to people?
They render service.
Okay. They are sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. What's that look like? Yeah.
Not sure we can tell.
Okay. I got a not sure we can tell. I got a, I don't know. Him?
Well, one thing that we know that it doesn't look like is it doesn't look like the service that Jesus provides, because he clearly says in verse 13, they're not the same as Jesus. So okay. He never spoke to the angels the same way that he spoke with Jesus.
Okay.
So we can say what they're not. They didn't die for our salvation. They didn't sacrifice for us. Yet they're ministering spirits. Whatever that looks like, it's not the same as Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, Eileen.
When I look it up, it says they were sent to execute God's purposes on earth.
Okay.
That's one explanation.
Okay. Now, in a sense, that's what Jesus did. He came here to execute God's purpose on the earth. Okay? Now, it's not the same, but it's similar to what Jesus did. Yeah, Carol.
Oh, isn't actually what angels do, or ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation, isn't that what a Christian is supposed to do?
No, it's angels.
We're supposed to love them and put them above ourselves. That means we're ministering to them, doesn't it?
You took me by surprise. So I'm having to think about what that means. Anybody want to give me some help here? It's an interesting idea that they may be like what we do for each other.
I'm not sure that that's ever described biblically, other than when individual Christians are referred to as angels, like the angel of the church at Ephesus. We read that this morning, that an individual that is ministering to that congregation, in that sense, we absolutely would be considered ministering angels, where we're ministering to other people. I'm not too sure that that's what he's talking about here.
No.
He may be talking about a different kind of a being here. But in another sense, that's very accurate, that we provide, we minister to one another the same way that an angel, the word angel, like we talked about last week, is used that way for individuals.
Right. So in that case, it was, when we talked about angels last week, we were trying to clear up some definitional ideas. You have the angel who is a spiritual being and who exists in a realm that we don't touch, at least not at this point in our lives. So we can't do the kinds of things that angels can do. But yeah, there is a sense in which angel is a word that's used to describe those who minister to others. And that's just an interest. That's a really interesting point. Let me get Bill first.
Well, there's a place where it says that we will be like the angels when we die.
Okay.
Yet the angels are God's servants, and they're sent to serve us. We know of at least one place where they're sent to save somebody.
Right.
So they're saving us. So that raises my question, are we higher or lower than the angels? And I think perhaps we're a little higher because they're serving us.
Well, if you look at the book of Hebrews and you trace what God says, or what the writer there says about the hierarchy of beings that exist, angels are above man. God is above angels. Jesus, of course, because he is God, was above angels, but then he became lower than the angels to be like us. So they serve us even though they're higher than us. The reference that you made, we would be like the angels in heaven, has to do with Jesus discussing a marriage relationship. And remember, the man came to Jesus, he tried to trap him. He says a man had a wife, he died, his brother, according to Levirate marriage, his brother took him or took his wife. And he died, and then his brother took his wife, and he died, on and on until she had seven husbands. And they thought that they could trick Jesus because they asked him a question. If we're going to be in the spiritual realm, and there is, in fact, a resurrection, then whose wife will she be? And Jesus says, you don't understand. In the resurrection, we become like the angels in heaven, for whom marriage is not a part of their existence. So we give up the idea of marriage when we become like the angels in heaven, in the resurrection, okay? So, yeah, let's see, Carol.
I was just thinking that it's ministering spirit, but it's sent to those who will inherit salvation. That's sort of what Jesus did. And he can do or could do all sorts of things that we will never be able to do. So whatever the angels could do, whatever Jesus could do, that's their special niche, but I think what we can do is what we can do to serve those and in the limited realm of what we as Christians can do.
Okay. And, you know, I was thinking about a statement that Paul made, that we comfort each other mm-hmm. with the comfort that we receive from God.
Right.
So in some sense, we are like the angels in that we minister. We don't do it in the same way that they do it, perhaps. Yeah, Bill.
What the our relative importance compared to an angel? They have power that we don't have.
Okay, we'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yeah, but they're sent to minister to us. So are they higher in the sense that they have power that we don't have, or that they have more value than we have?
I'm not sure that I can answer that question. I just have to go back to Hebrews describing a hierarchy with God, angels, and man. And Jesus becoming a little lower than the angels to be like us. So you raise an interesting question. And I'm not sure I would. I'd have to think a little bit more about whether that's a designation of power. And certainly is. We don't have the power that angels do. Or it's a designation of created of roles for which we were created. That's back to this conundrum that I started with. Do I talk about the roles, or do I talk about what they do, about how they were created? Which comes first? And I think they were created by God to fill their role. And because of that, they were given certain power. They were given certain characteristics. It's just like men and women. Men and women are not the same. Man's not higher than the woman, but they have different roles. And because of that, God has created them differently. And that's the best I can say. Yeah.
Well, this makes me wonder if when the judgment comes and we are adopted by God into the other realm, then that would mean that we would be higher than the angels because we would be adopted into the family of God.
Well, no more than Gentiles being adopted into the family made them higher than the Jews. It didn't. It made them equals. So the idea, and that's not exactly the same process. It's not exactly the same adoption. But Paul would never say that the Gentiles are higher than the Jews because they were adopted. You know, being adopted means that God chose you. My grandson one time was talking to his mother, and he asked his mom to explain his whole adoption story. And so Jenny sat down and she explained the whole adoption story to Dash. And Briggs, of course, is listening to all of this. And when it was all done, Briggs, naturally the biological son of Jenny and Jeff, he said, "Mom, I want to be adopted too." You know, that there's something very special about adoption. You get to choose the children that you adopt. You're kind of stuck with the ones that you make. Mandy's here. I don't
stop thinking. Just to stop.
Okay. So it's an interesting thought that they are ministering servants, and in some ways we too are ministering servants. And I just have to say that's something that I hadn't considered, and I'll try to consider that as I keep going with these lessons and see if I can unravel some of that. I may not be able to, but it's something to think about. Yeah, Bill.
Well, it does say we'll be like the angels.
Yeah, we will be like the angels.
Because we like they're our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
We're all children of God. They were created by him. We were born to him.
Now, that's true. That's true. So, I make no bones about it. You guys ask better questions than I have answers to. Yeah. Kim.
Well, you know, it is very confusing, because if you read in this context, and we just keep reading, we're going to find out when he says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. For the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation of disobedience received its just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his word. And then he goes on and talks more about angels and relationship with man. But but we do know that the angels, I believe when he says the holy ones, the angels came down from Mount Sinai with Moses, and they were somehow a part of the giving of the law, and I think somehow they were a part of giving of the new law, and I think that's kind of what he's referring to here, is that the angels were a part of serving God by serving us, and that we're to take them seriously. It's confusing, I know. It's confusing for me for sure, but in some regard, the message was spoken by angels.
That I was going to get there.
Oh, sorry.
But that's okay. I think it bears on this question that a lot of what the angels do in ministering to us is helping us to have the word, God's plan. So, yeah. Okay, let's go on. We've got to get through more than just one passage tonight. But it's okay. Those thoughts are very good ones. Let's look at 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 9 through 12. And this kind of touches on what Kim was talking about, angels and the role that they play in bringing us the plan of God. Okay? Can somebody read? Why don't we get somebody at home to read 1 Peter 1, verses 9 through 12? Anne, do you have that?
Yes.
Go ahead.
9 through 12?
Yeah.
Okay. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to the salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in this thing, in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things unto which angels long to look.
Okay. What do you see in this? In terms of the role that angels play.
Well, evidently they don't know the mind of God because they want to know those things. They long to look into those things.
Okay. That's a part of it. And of course, Jesus did know the mind of God. So in a sense, Jesus has to be, he came here to serve us, but he has to be regarded as being above the angels because he was very well aware of what God wanted to do. I think he was part and parcel of planning what was going to happen. So he understood all of this from the very beginning of time. Angels didn't. Anything else? Yeah.
Referring back to the last scripture, there is a place where angel speaking to Daniel, and he says, Michael comes to help him because the princes of Persia were withstanding him. Since the angels are sent to help those that are inheriting salvation, and they were working with the Persians, was there somebody there that was going to be saved, or was that only for those of us that were in Babylon?
To say that angels operated for the benefit of those who would be saved includes not only us, but men and women throughout all time and all history. So yes, there were people in that day who were going to be saved. So in a sense, the angels ministered to them. And you make a good point. On the other side, there were demons who were working with the princes of Persia. Demons as separate from angels. Angels who were doing God's will, and they're called angels of Satan. We call them demons. But they're withstanding the angel. So yeah. Good point. I think it tells me that angels are aware of this world. If you think of the angels as existing in a sphere where we don't exist at this point, or we don't exist yet, they are well aware of what's going on here. And they want to know the end of this. They don't, like Bob pointed out, they're different than God. They don't see the end from the beginning like God does. But they are aware of what's going on here. It seems to me that there's no question about that. Yeah, Carol.
It makes me think of when we were talking about nature, the natural man this morning, and as opposed to the animal, and that the angels may have a difficulty in being able to understand because they're not that way, where they're not like us. So it's something that they don't understand. And so it's just confusing to them.
Yeah. At this point, we're natural people.
Yeah.
Okay. We're concerned about the things of this world. Eventually, after our resurrection, after that resurrection takes place, we become spiritual. That doesn't mean we're disembodied. It just means that we're spiritual at that point. And in a way, more like the angels who exist in that sphere now. So, yeah, you're right. Other questions, other ideas, comments, anything anybody else sees in this? Okay. So let's go on. This is Matthew, the first chapter, or excuse me, Matthew, the 18th chapter, and verse 10. Somebody want to read this? And then we'll comment on this a little bit. Matthew 18 at verse 10.
Even if you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven.
Okay. And Brent makes a good point. This is a place where frequently people go to kind of develop the idea that we have guardian angels. Somehow we have an angel who is pleading our case in heaven, who is our protector, like he's sitting on our shoulder, that kind of an image. Do you think that's what he's talking about? Yeah, Bill.
Well, there's another place where it says angels surround the righteous.
Okay.
So, yeah, with the little ones, I mean, sometimes children see things that we don't see. They may see, some of them may see their angel. Their innocence needs to be cultivated. I know when I was a kid, you know, I was surrounded by other kids that were a bad influence or the picked on. Yet there was something there that made me different. And I didn't go the way of hate and revenge when I was bigger than the other kids. And there was something that said smoking and drinking is not smart and sneaking around behind your parents' back. What was that?
Yeah, that the angel on your shoulder. That's an idea that is frequently suggested. But I, in the context here, I'm not sure that that's what he's talking about. Because you would have to say, well, then Daniel had an angel on his shoulder when he's thrown into the lion's den. Now, I know that angels were involved in protecting him at that point, but that hadn't happened when he got thrown in there. And if that's true, that there are angels that protect children, then you have to deal with the fact that children die. Children are gravely injured. Children come up with incurable cancers. What's that? Their angel was out on vacation that week. I just think we have to be aware of that. I'm not sure that Jesus is presenting the concept of a personal guardian angel who always makes sure that you're safe. Yeah, I've jokingly said I grew up and I kept my angel busy trying to keep me out of trouble. Bob, you had your hand up.
Well, I like to go back to Hebrews 1 and 14. The New American Standard Version that I read says that the spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit. Not that they will actually serve that individual necessarily all the time, but their service is for the sake of these people. So that could take in a lot of area of things that angels do that we wouldn't have a clue to.
Okay.
Because you mentioned, you know, kids with incurable diseases of cancer. Well, yeah. If you think of it in terms of rendering service for the sake of, it gives you a little more latitude for giving God the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, so it's not so much the angel is there to keep you from getting hurt, which is kind of the picture that Satan presents to Jesus in the temptations. Remember, he said, go up on the pinnacle of the temple, throw yourself down. He'll give his angel charge concerning thee that you'll not dash your foot against the ground. That's the image that we sometimes entertain of angels. And I think that image is unwarranted. I tend to be like Bob and say that they minister for our sake, which is much broader than saying that I have angels that minister to me. So, yeah, Bill.
That one referring to God watching over Jesus' life, he was unique, and I think that was probably meant just for him. And he didn't want to transgress what God would do for any normal human being because he was living that life at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, the angel has to let him dash his foot on the ground, just like the angel had to let him be crucified. And it gets back to angels ministering for his sake. Sometimes bad things happen that are happening for our sake. And just like Jesus being crucified, he had to be crucified in order to be king. There's no other way to get there. Had to be crucified in order to be king. So letting Jesus be nailed to the cross was for his sake, even though it seems evil. Yeah, Manny.
I think it's important to look at the context when we're looking at Matthew 18 and 10 and trying to talk about the idea of guardian angels and whether or not this is looking at as children and having guardian angels. When the whole context of Matthew 18, 10 especially starts the parable of the lost sheep. And really, it's looking at the innocence of those and recognizing that God's protective hand is over all of us at all times, and his angels are always in his presence. And recognizing that it's not a specific guardian angel, it's just a service of protection.
Okay. Yeah, Kim?
I think King David said it pretty well in Psalm 34. When he and I guess this is the psalm where David had pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech.
Oh, yeah.
And so the Lord let him escape. And he said, there's a lot there, but then he says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. And, you know, in the context of all of that, he's not really talking about a guardian angel. He's talking about fearing the Lord and serving the Lord. And there will be some kind of a deliverance. And I don't think that means that there's necessarily a physical deliverance from every dilemma that we get ourselves into. He's talking about a spiritual deliverance and that we're going to be guarded and protected. He goes on, and in the rest of that psalm, he ends up talking about Jesus, basically. And so that's what makes me think that it's about redemption and salvation and protection that is afforded all people when they are in, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Well, so people who live in that kind of a relationship with him are going to have that kind of angelic protection in that regard. Does that make sense? I think that's what David was saying. And I think that applies in Matthew as well, in 18, when he was talking about these children.
Right, and this is shortly before Jesus is in the garden, and he prays, God, let this cup pass from me. It wouldn't, but angels came and they comforted him. So the idea that angels are going to prevent any bad thing from happening in our lives is a stretch. It just, I don't think it's biblical, because bad things happen. Angels still protect us, like Kim said. Yeah, Bill, and you're going to get the last comment.
My mind goes blank. Death is a part of life, whether we die when we're 110 or we die when we're 5 years old. The innocent, the little ones, they will be with God. They're innocent. They've never sinned. Nevertheless, for those of us who are past that stage, it's interesting. The Lord encamps. It's like the angel is hanging out right here. He's not just coming and going. That is more than a curious word.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
I didn't look at that, but that's an interesting idea. Something I need to pursue.
You know, we learn from death. Sometimes, if we have a good heart, it makes us a better person, because now our mom is gone and we never want to shame her again. We lose our child and we have to ponder on, it was harder on us than it was on them. And now they're with God, which is wonderful. They never have to live through all the miseries of life that adults do, or maybe die in a car accident or of cancer or something horrible. It's, you know, it's something that not too many people, other than a bad frame of mind, want to walk into. Nobody really looks forward to dying normally. But if our life is correct with God, it's a good thing to happen in its own time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting concept. That it's a good thing to happen when it happens. Let me clean up my slides here for just a minute. I got this one in there twice. Okay. So every once in a while I go to sleep. The way that I do this is I create a duplicate slide and then I go back and I change it. And then sometimes I forget to take out the duplicate. We're out of time. We'll continue this. It's been a good discussion. And there's a lot more that there is to say about the role of angels. And we'll continue that next week.